Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Hey, and we're holding at the Halakha and Mishnah on daf Samach Dalek from the base.
Okay, so we're going to be entering into a completely new phase now, in which our focus is on the issues of Chatas Ha'Ov and Olas Ha'Ov. Now, later on, we'll be going into those specific details and all of the dinim, but let me just mention that the issues that we're going to be bringing up in terms of the kashrus of Chatas Ha'Ov and Olas Ha'Ov are in certain ways parallel to the dinim of the Chatas Behema and Olas Behema, and in other ways, they're very different. So let's remember that when it comes to a bird, there's no Shechita, so we don't have the matter of Shechita, but in its place, we do have Malika. There's no Kabbalah Satam, because in both cases, both of the Eila and of the Chatas, the dam is sprinkled on the Mizbeach directly from the bird, so that the Kohen is holding the bird and moving the bird towards the Mizbeach with a sprinkling motion. And since there's no Kabbalah, and since the Malika is done next to the Mizbeach, there's no holocha, there's no kos to be moved. So out of the four materium that we've been speaking about back at the beginning of the Masechet, to talk about the psulim of either shelo lishma when it comes to a chatas or a pesach, or shelo b'mekomo, or pigol shelo b'mekomo, which is not a chi of course, but which goes across the entire gamut of all of the korbanos, or whether pigol, which is b'chai of course, of Shalom Bizmano, over there, we've got four materi, but when it comes to the bird, we only have two materi. Let's talk about another fascinating difference, and that is, when it comes to the Korbanot of Behema, so almost all of the Korbanos have two separate parts. They have a part that is eaten by the Mizbeach, which is the Emurim, and a part that is eaten by Adam, which is the Basar. Either the Basar is eaten by Kayanim alone, or the Basar, in the case of Kachin Kalim, would be eaten by anybody, or by the Balim in the event that he owns it. So when it comes, however, to the birds, we have not a single case where you have both the Achila of the Mizbeach and the Achila of the Adam. You have either or. So when it comes to the Olas Ha'Ov, only the Mizbeach gets anything from that bird. And therefore, even though the dam, of course, is always put onto the Mizbeach, but not necessarily in the same way, as we'll see. But when it comes to the Achila, the entire Ov is brought onto the Mizbeach, and the Chatas Ha'Ov is exactly the opposite. The Mizbeach gets nothing, as we spoke about yesterday, other than the dam. So you'll never have a situation in which we could talk intelligently, at least on the surface, about the ability to be on the same korban to unify an achila of a chatzi zayis of something that was royal achilas mizbeach and another chatzi zayis of something that was royal achilas adam. That doesn't really happen. Although we're going to talk later today, hopefully, we're going to talk about a particular case where such a thing would be possible, but in an unusual way. Another very important thing to remember is a general klal, and that is that when the Torah tells us the dinim of the Olas Ha'Ov versus the dinim of the Chatas Ha'Ov, besides the halacha that we've seen until now, of there being totally different places for the Chatas Ha'Ov versus the Olas Ha'Ov, remember that the Olas Ha'Ov, remember our old siman, that the Ola goes up as the Otiot of Of is up. And that means the Olas Of up versus the Chatas Of down. And that we need to remember our different places on the Mizbeach. Besides the question of up or down, there's also the question of what area on the Mizbeach. So remember that when it came to the dinim of the Chatas, it was necessary to have the dam be mitmatzei, we were derish, it would go down to an area where there was a yesod on its own, besides the mitzvah, which means that it needed to be both, as the Pasuk puts it, both to the Pnei HaMizbeach, which is Dorim, and Lifnei Hashem, which is Ma'arav. So we put it both on that Dorim Ma'arav, which is Ma'aravit Romit, which was the only place of one Amma that there was a Yisod on the Tzad HaDorim. Vash'enkin, when it came to the Olas Ha'of is actually sprinkled only on the part of the Mizbeach, which is above the Chut HaSikra, and therefore there's no din of its needing to be Mitbatse Liyisod, and that the Mokum for it doesn't say anywhere about Lifnei Hashem and that it has to be B'marav. The Mokum for it was the place where the Kohen would come up immediately and turn right to the first corner that he reached, which obviously was towards the east, since the Mizbeach's south is where the Kevesh is. And that Ola would be on top, and it would be on the right-hand side. And if, as the Gemara said, if we end up running out of room, because there was Shlosha Devarim that Karen was useful for, we could move over to the top of the Mizbeach, also on the same side that the Chatas Ha'of was being taken care of on the bottom of the Mizbeach, which is the din of the southwest, Baravit Romit. But the modality of how it is that you put the dam, not speak about the placement. Placement is very different. But how about the way in which it's done? So there's an overall halacha, which is that if you treat a Chatas Ha'of as if it were an Olas Ha'of, even though you know perfectly well it's a Chatas Ha'of, and if you treat an Olas Ha'of as if it were a Chatas Ha'of, even though you know perfectly well that it's an Ayla and your Kavana is the Shem Ayla, that is called a new psul. And it's called Sha'asa Maisa Chatas Ha'of La Olas Ha'of, or Oisa Maisa Olas Ha'of to a Chatas Ha'of. What would that mean of Osa Maase? It turns out, as Tosis explains, it's definitely not a function of where it's put, because what we're talking about is a special psul about how and not where. So let's talk about the how. There are two elements of the how that we need to take into consideration. There is a special way to do Malika for the Eilat Sa'if, and there's a special way to do Malika for the Chatas Ha'of. And the two of them are exclusive, mutually exclusive, if the mitzvah of the dam and the hazar sadam is also done differently. So there need to be these two elements. If both elements are confused, then the korban is possible. There's a difference in how to do the malika, and there's a difference in how to do the bringing of the dam. What are those differences? So first of all, the ola is brought in two separate pieces, so that the head of the Eila is separate from the goof of the Eila. Masha'en came by the Chatas of the Oaf. It says, Beferish, you are not allowed to be Mavdil. It says, Velo Yavdil. The Rambam lists Velo Yavdil as one of the Tayag Mitzvahs. That means that it's an actual law. It's not telling me you don't need to be Mavdil. It's telling me you cannot be Mavdil. If you do, then you're over on a lofty rise and you'll be chayav malchus. What does lo yavdil mean when it comes to the chatas? Lo yavdil means, according to the Rambam, you cannot completely separate the head from the body, but it doesn't matter how many of the simonim, there are two simonim, remember? There's the kona, which is the trachea, through which the bird gets air, and there's the veshet, through which the bird swallows. And those two, when it comes to the Rambam's approach, those two are actually okay to cut as long as you don't separate the body from the head. Masha Enkin, the other Rishonim learned, and it's much easier to learn the sugya like this. The other Rishonim learned, and that's how Rashi learns here, that the difference between the Malika of the Chatas and the Malika of the Oaf lies specifically not in the skin that's connecting the head to the body, but rather it lies in the number of simanim. So therefore, when it says v'lo yavdil, it means you cannot cut both simanim. And when it says that you're mavdil, then it means that you do cut both simanim. So it would mean, on the simple take, is that when it comes to the oath, you actually have to separate entirely by cutting both the kona and the veshet. Plus, as we'll see, ultimately, you actually separate the spinal cord and the spinal column. And so, essentially, you have two separate pieces, and they're put on the mizbeach in two separate pieces. That's the way to do malika. Masha Inking, when it comes to the chatas oath, you would only cut one of the simanim, and that would be one of the major differences of how you go about bringing it. The other major difference is how you bring it down to the mizbeach. So when we're talking about the chatas ha'of, you're holding the body together with the head, because it's v'lo yavdil. You sprinkle the dam, and then after you sprinkle the dam, by moving the dam through holding the body, you then have to be mematze the dam separately. We learned all this before. There's a mitzui of the dam by pressing the body and head against the bottom of the mizbeach, which is the equivalent of shvichas shirayim, and therefore also a machlokus whether shvichas shirayim is ma'akev. It's a shvichas shirayim equivalent, which comes by pressing the body against the actual mizbeach, getting out all of the dam. Masha Inkein, when it comes to the Eila, the way in which the dam is put is not through Hazaa, it's put through Mitzui, only Mitzui, and that Mitzui is done on top of the Mizbeach. And it's not the equivalent of Shvicha Shirayim, it is the fundamental way in which the dam is actually presented to the Mizbeach. So then, if you would do both of those things backwards, and you would act with the chatas as if it were an oila. Forget about where, but how. In both of those issues of how you do the malika, and also how you do the hazaya, if you would change both of them, then it would be puzzle just because it's osa maisa chatas to an oila, or maisa the oila sa'ov to a chatas sa'ov. That's a general psul. Now, as far as the normal psulim that we were talking about, so the dinim of psul, remember the basic rule. This is a very long Mishnah, so I'm just giving you the overall vision of a Mishnah that's going to take up the entire piece of the bottom of what we left off yesterday, which was Amud Beis, and the beginning of the next daf, is going to talk about the various places in which a machshava can pass on the aveda of the oila sa'ov and the chatas sa'ov. So just like by a chatas, remember that we can pass on a korban by having a machshava shelo lishma in any of the four matirim. So too by a chatas ha'ov, if you have a machshava shelo lishma, it's completely and totally possible. Masha Inking, if it's a machshava shelo lishma, just like in an animal, oila, the din is it's a kosher behema, but it's not oila l'shem the bialim. So it's a kosher korban, but the korban is not going to be yotz. So it's eino oila lo, and he's going to have to pay once again in order to fulfill his commitment, if it's a neder, or if it's chaya for some other element in which he needed to bring an oaf. He passes it not as the kashrus, but as the yotzi dechiyah, and it won't count for him. He'll have to bring another one. But the oila itself is kosher in terms of its mizbeah. So that's the difference between the dinim of shelo lishma, and that's exactly the same we're used to that. It's a special din of chatas. That's across both behema and oaf. The only difference is that when it comes to shelo lishma, we've got four matirim, because we have shrita, kabbalah, holocha, and zrika. Masha Enkin, when we're talking about an oath, we only have malika and hazoya. Or, in the case of the oila, in the case of the chatas, we have malika, and then hazaa, and mitzvi. Okay, but that's just the mitzvi, it's just this machlokus about whether it's ma'akev, it's just part of the zrika. And we learned by behema also. If you are talking about putting on the dam, and towards the Yisod of Shvira Shirayim, if you hold that it's Ma'akit, so then that's part of the actual Matir, because it's Ma'akit. Of course, there's the other tzad, which is, what was the object of the Machshava? That makes the difference when it comes to Pigo. So remember our general claw, which was a Gavi rule. The Kihartza'at Kasher, Kahartza'at Pasul. In order for something to be able to cause a real chi of chorus as a machshavas pigel of chutz lizvadai, in order for that, you need to bring the korban properly. And if you did anything that passed, then it won't be kosher. Meaning, anything that comes from outside the world of pigel, then it's not pigel. If you do everything wrong, then that's the way you do it right. So when it comes to the pigel, everything you do wrong, that's a perfect way to bring the pigel in the machshavas chutz lizvanai for any of its material. And the question is, what's the object? The object is, you're going to eat it. Well, you can't eat it from an ayla, because remember, it has to be roi for achilas ada. So the machshava would be, I am doing this Aveda either of the Malika as the Batir or as the Hazoya, which doesn't apply. The word Hazoya isn't really used. The Mitzri of the Dam for the Eila. If I have the Machshava that I will bring up that meat of the actual Eila on the Mizbeah, which is burnt entirely, the same way that the Eila Behema is, as a matter of fact, in a sense, it's even more so, because when it comes to a Behema, remember, we take off the hide and we cut it up. Hashem came by the Elasa Oaf. The entire Oaf is brought up without taking off any piece of it, which we'll see except for one piece, which we'll talk about in a moment. And over there, if your kavana was to bring it up on the Mizbeach, that's considered to be a dover that is roi to frachilas Mizbeach. And if you have in mind that I am going to do that bringing up chutz lizmanai, then it passels it as pigul, which is a machshavas psul, which is b'chayim koras. But if I mess up the completely perfect bringing of a pigul, and the theoretically perfect pigul would be, you did everything. You did both the Malika and you did the actual Mitzri, and you had a Machshava in both of those Matirin that you're going to bring it up at the wrong time. There you go. You've got yourself a piece of pigel. And in the event that at that moment you already will go ahead and eat it during the correct time, but the Machshava was chutzlis mano, if it would be actually done and was brought, then the halacha would be if you ate it, which of course it's not really meant for roi to be, which doesn't matter, but in terms of your issur of eating it as pigel, not the machshava of the pigel, but the actual eating of the meat, which anyway you weren't supposed to eat it, obviously, then you would be chayev for eating it, and you would be chayev koras. And when it comes to the chatas, it would be the opposite. If you did any of the elements of the act of the Malika, or any of the things that you needed to be done with the Dam, which would be the Hazoya, not the Mitzui, and according to the Shita that holds that the separate idea of the Mitzui, which was put towards the Yisod, and according to the Bandiyarman who holds that that Mitzui is Ma'akev, the same way that Shvira Shirayim is Ma'akev for an animal. So then if you had a Machshavas Chutz Lizmanai with the Kavana of, not that I will bring it on the Mizbeach, because nothing is put on the Mizbeach, but that I will eat it, Chutz Lizmanai, so then it would be Pigo, and it would be a Chiyav of Chatas in the event that you actually did eat it. But since the rule is, if you mess up the world of Pigo of Chutz Lizmanai, and you had in mind something that was Chutz LeBekobo, that's it. You're not chayev because you already messed it up, and it's not a perfect pigel. So if, let's say, it was a machshava of chutz limekoma that you had in mind in one of the other parts, let's say you did the mitzvah with a machshava of chutz lizmano, but you had done the malika for chutz limekoma, or vice versa. You started off with a machshava chutz lizmanai, and then you went ahead and you did the mitzvah after doing the malika chutz l'zmano, you do now the aveda of the dam of chutz l'mekomo, you messed it up, and it's no longer real pigel to be mechayev you the chiyuv of chorus. So that's exactly the same idea that we found early on at the beginning of the Masechet. The entire discussion of kahartza'at kasher has to be kahartza'at of the posel has to be kahartza'at kasher. The difference is, of course, that you can also mess up your korban in the case of the chatas ha'ov by not only mixing the machshava of chutz l'mekomo, which ruins your chutz l'zmano and takes away the pigul, but it's a ma'akev to have a shelo lishma. And therefore, if the kavana was to bring it as a different, instead of a chatas, you had in mind as an eilas ha'ov, or you brought it to the wrong person, which was a shinui ba'alim, then even if you had a machshava of the chutz l'zmanai, also it's not kartza'at pasul, kartza'at kasher, and therefore obviously it would be pasul, very pasul, but it wouldn't be the chiyuv of kores because you also mixed a machshava, which is only true of the chatas and not of anything else. It would also be considered to be a machshava which was not kartza'at kasher. Okay, it is starting to... Oh, still can't see. Now, there's also one other element of the part of the korban that is actually not put on the mizbeach. We talked about this yesterday, but it's actually thrown on the mokum of the Beis HaDeshan, which we discussed. And that is, remember where that mokum HaDeshan is? It was three etzvaot away from the kevesh, 10 amas away from the part of the kevesh along the floor of the azara, from the edge of the kevesh as you come off of it, and then facing the Mizbeach, it would be on the right side of the Kevesh. That was the Mokum of the Beit HaDeshen, not to be confused with the other Beit HaDeshen, which is outside of Yerushalayim. Here we're talking about a special Aveda, which is take the one shovelful of the ashes, put it on that spot. But as we saw yesterday, when we talked about, wow, how powerful a Kohen has to be, would be that he would have to throw the mur'a v'notza. Now, we discuss the special details of the mur'a v'notza. So it turns out that since you're going to be putting something to feed the mizbeach, when you're talking about the olas ha'ov, you have to take out the zefek. So there's the part of the korban, which a bird has that does not apply to a behema. Mammal doesn't have a zefek, but a bird does. And a zefek, remember, has two different special kind of mechanisms that are necessary for the way that it lives, which is that it uses very hard to digest seeds. Those seeds are, they peck at those seeds. The seeds are stored in the zefek. And then gradually, as the bird takes the seed slowly down its esophagus, it gets to a special place, which is called the gizzard, the kurkuba, which is extremely powerful, muscular, crushing the part that will break apart the seeds because it needs extra special musculature. And that part may also be taken out. We'll see it's in machlokas whether you must remove that as well. So what you do is you cut a little hole. And we learn out from a pasuk that you cannot do this laparoscopically, which may be done, as the Gemara points out, is if you're some butcher and you're selling the bird, so you don't want to mess up the beautiful bird, but any good butcher will laparoscopically go beneath the skin, tear out the zefek, which is full of those seeds, and that's thrown out. You cannot do that. You actually have to take a knife and you make a circle around the area, which is the Zephek, together with whatever feathers are in that spot and whatever skin is in that spot, you cut around that area and pull out the Zephek. Now, as you pull out the Zephek, there are also the rest of the part that was initially the beginning of the esophagus, then goes down, and you're supposed to pull out whatever will come along with that Zephek. We'll see that this Machlokas, what part is Ma'akev, so that all of the parts that are not appropriate to be put on the Mizbeach end up being thrown onto the Mokum of that Deshen, next to the place where you had brought the Mizbeach, the top of the Mizbeach, the ashes in that spot. Now, that's only done to the Oila, because, of course, when it comes to the Chatas, not one little bit of the Chatas is actually put onto the Mizbeach. So works out perfectly well that it fits that way. So therefore, that sort of would be the difference. Let me just point out that Malika, one of the dinim of the Malika, that's very important to note. And that is, there's a halacha from the Gemara in Chulin, which says that in the event that an animal or a bird, if the neck is broken together with the spinal cord, then what happens is the bird is considered, or the animal is considered to be dead, despite the fact that it may still move around, on condition that not only was the spinal cord severed, and not only was the actual bone structure of the vertebrae, so the neck was broken, but also most of the muscles that surround that support of the neck was also cut through, and that's called rov basa. So if rov of the basa and also the spinal cord and the bone of the neck, if it's cut, it doesn't matter if the animal is still moving. It is metame, as if it were actually an avela. Now, because of that, we run into a problem. Because if you put your fingernail, which is what the Kohen has to do, in order to cut through the simanim, he has to be very careful that in doing so, he doesn't cut through the actual spinal column and break the muscle. If he does that, he just turned his carbon into an avela, and that is certainly not kosher. So in that case, there's going to be a difference between the way in which you do the avoda of the malika of the chatas and the avoda of the malika of the oila. Because you have to be careful when you come to the oila that you actually sever both the kona and the vashon, both simanim. And that is, by definition, according to most Rishonim, that's the actual definition of Yavdil, that you need to break through. You do that before you get to the part of the neck that has the actual spinal cord and the spinal column, the vertebrae. That means that you have to be careful to have the neck of the bird, because remember that you're coming from behind. So you have to know exactly what you're doing when you put your fingernail through that neck to get to the part of the neck that's actually in the front, even though you're coming from around the back. Then afterwards, when you do that, then you can actually separate the head from the body, because once you did both simanim, then you have finished the aveda of the oila, and then there's no problem. It's now the kosher animal, which you did the malika for. Basha Enkin, when it comes to the chatas, what you do is you first do either the kana or the veshet, and then you have to cut through the rov basar together with the actual spinal cord and the bones of the neck. And then we'll see that there's a question, what would happen then if you actually cut the other siman? But it means that there's going to be an interruption between the cutting of the two simanim, because you have to cut through that basar in order to have a bird that is now complete and yet remains connected. Again, according to the Roshitas that learned the connection by definition, means the lo yavdil means that you haven't cut through both. Now, let me just explain one more thing. I know I'm dragging this out because I can't see anything, so, but I hope that at least it's useful information. There's one other thing that's a little bit confusing, and that is that the Torah uses the word lo yavdil twice. And that's because there are two completely different acts of yavdil or lo yavdil. One of the meaning of lo yavdil is that it's talking about those simanim, or the lo yavdil, according to Rashi, or the separation of the head and the body is the lo yavdil. That's one lo yavdil, which has nothing to do with the other lo yavdil, which is not a lav, according to the Rambam. It's just saying it's not necessary to mavdil. There are Rishonim, by the way, who differ, remember, in the Rambam's count of the mitzvahs. So according to the Rambam, in his list of mitzvahs, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and in his actual Mishneh Torah, over there it's quite clear that the lo yavdil, which refers to the tearing apart of the two parts of the bird. Now that is considered, the word for that is shisui. You actually rip it apart, which is learnt out from Shimshon HaGibor. If you remember, Shimshon HaGibor was attacked by this lion cub and he tears it with his hands. He tore it apart as if he were as if it were a gedit. He just rips it apart with his bare hands. Ein biyado meuma. It's the lashon of the pasuk. There it says v'lo yavdil, and that means when you tear it apart, which is often done for barbecuing a bird, which you don't separate the two parts, but it's torn apart and put on the barbecue. The same thing is true of the oaf. Is taken apart, but lo yavdil. Okay, I think that that's basically all of the details that we need to know in order to attack this Mishnah. So let's move ahead now. Oof. Man, oh man. Okay, please forgive me for doing all of that introduction. But,
would it help, Rebbe, if someone else read the words out loud and Rebbe would say pshat?
No, that enabled me to at least get sight back enough to be able to say it over. Not great, but I can now say it, so I hope. Just give me 1 second. This is recording, I hope. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So let us begin with the actual issue. So how do you go about in a practical way of doing the olasa'ov? Well, remember that first you have to go up because of our old idea. Ola is up. So the first thing that you have to do is you go up to the top, and ola lekevesh, and you turn to the exit of the sovev. So remember that there was an exit that you took off in order to be able to stand on the sovev. And that way, you're standing above the chutasikra, and you turned to your right, and you come to the keren dromit mizrachit, as opposed to the dromit maravit, which we call the maravit dromit. So you turned right, and the first place that you get was to that particular part. Then, haya molek et rosha mimul orpo. So the Torah says the place to do malika, we learn one from the other. The place to do malika is to actually do the malika right there, boom, on top of the mizbeach. And because we're talking about the ola, you are mavdil. Two parts. Again, that means you cut through both the kona and the veshet, according to almost all the Rishonim, and according to Rambam, it means you sever the head from the body. You're going to be holding two separate pieces. Now you mitza etamo al kiram mizbeach, and then you do not spray it by holding it and waving it, you press it against the side of the Mizbeach, and there's only mitzvah. There's not hazaah. So remember, we need to separate the technical term zrika, which is the way that we treat animals, except for the actual putting it on with a finger, which is called chitui, on an animal. There's hazaah, which is sprinkling the actual bird. And then there's called the mitzui, which is pressing against the side of the mizbeach. The eila is pressed. So you did the mitzui without any type of hazaya. You mitzah as doma akir hamizbeach. Then you take the rosh. Now the rosh, there's nothing much else that you have to do to the rosh, except it has to be put into melach. And remember, all korbanos need to be placed onto the mizbeach with melach. So it turns out that you then take the rosh and you press the Beit Mikato against the mizbeach. Most learn that this is a second mitzvah, which is to make sure that every part of the rosh, particularly after doing the whole thing, is pressed up against the mizbeach, and you put it into melach, put the whole end of the bird's head into salt, and then you throw it, zrako, because remember we learned that the din of the mizbeach is that it's done bezrika. We said just like dam has to be done bezrika, the kevesh was slightly far away in order for there to be a throwing of whatever you throw onto the mizbeach. So their head is thrown onto the mizbeach, and then you turn back to the separate body of the bird, which you've already pressed. And there, before, the reason we do it in two separate stages is because before you are ready to do the actual throwing on the mizbeach, you have to remove the mur'ah and the notzah, which you're going to do before you do the putting into the melach and before you throw it on the mizbeach. So you turn now to the guf and you take out the mur'ah and the notzah plus whatever is pulled out together with the alimentary canal and whatever it is that will be pulled out together with the parts that would include, as we'll see, also the gizzard, which is the muscular grinding of the part that is Torah doesn't want on the mizbeach. That's the part that the oaf steals by going around and taking from other people's fields. And that is thrown onto the balcum of the Beis Hadeshen, as we spoke about yesterday. And then you go to the actual body. You hold the bird in your two hands and rip it apart without needing, as the Rambam says, as I mentioned before, it's a machlokas. Some of the Meina HaMitzvahs include the Lo Yavdil of this Lo Yavdil, as opposed to the Lo Yavdil when it comes to the separation of the head, which is Bedavka referring to the Chatas and not to the Eila. The Lo Yavdil, according to them, means that the Eila cannot be ripped into two pieces on the Guf, which the Rambam says, that's ridiculous. And it makes sense that it's ridiculous, because once you have done the Avedas Hadam, it doesn't really matter anymore, right? We learned this before. Anything that is done after the dam was presented on the mizbeach, even if you don't bring the part of the basa that's due on the mizbeach, you can't passel the animal. The same thing is true of the bird. If you've already done the Avedas Hadam, it's not going to matter whether you even don't bring it at all on the mizbeach subsequently. So when it says that, in this case, lo yavdil, it's essentially a recommendation, so to speak. And we're dealing with kachim. How can it be ma'akim anything if you don't have to bring it at all? So lo yavdil, and there you are, mishaseya, you rip it, like I said, shimshon hagibar, ripped apart that lion cub. And if you did, im hivdil, if you did tear it into two parts, makes a difference. It would be kosher. So then you go ahead and you do this. And now you're ready to put it on the mizbeach. So you put it into the melach, sofka b'melach, v'zorko agabi ha'ishi. If you didn't do the tearing out of the Murah, the Notzah, and the Bnei Me'ayimah Yotzim Ima, and if you didn't put it into Melach, it doesn't matter, because anything that's done, Kol Shishinaba, Mi'acha Shemitzah Atama, anything that's done after Mitzvah is kosher, because the bird already was Mechaper, and it makes no difference at that point forward. Now, suppose when it comes to the Korban Chatas, which you were Mavdil, and you took apart the goof from the Rosh, again, according to Rashi and the others that learn like Rashi, it means that you were Mavdil both the Kona and the Veshet by Achatas Ha'of, or you didn't do Havdalah with the Eila, and you didn't cut both the Kona and the Veshet, it would be possible. That is actually Ma'akev, because that comes before the Mitzvah. Mitzah et Dam HaRosh, below Mitzah Dam HaGuf, or if you did that complete Mitzvah of the Dam HaRosh, which I actually do twice, according to most, it's not going to help you if you didn't do the major Dam, which is the Dam of the Guf. It would still be possible, but if you did the Dam HaGuf, then the secondary Dam, which is the Dam HaRosh, would actually be kosher. Now, that ends how to do it. And it's much clearer if we now recognize that the rest of the Mishnah is actually a completely different topic. Now that we know how to do the actual Baisah Oath, both for the Eila and for the Chatas, let's start a new Mishnah. The Mishnah now is the Mishnah that is in every way similar to the Mishnah that we had earlier that talked about Pigel for behemoths. And now let's substitute all of the words that we had before, in which we had four Matirin, every time that we talked about Shrita, either Shalal Shmar, Chutzitzmano, Chutzitzmano, we talk about on the bird, we substitute the word Moloch. And every time that we talk about the Abedas Adam, instead of talking about the Zorak, which appears by the Behema, we talk about the Hazoy, or the Mitzvah. And we'll see that also it'll make an Afkamina if you hold Shvicha Shiraim is Ma'akev Rehat. That's a side point. But we have now the same exact Mishnah that we had before, but translated into the world of Ofot. So you'll all remember this Mishnah as if you already learned it. So, first of all, Chatas begins with the idea of Shavu Lishma, in the same way that the Chatas Behema begins all the way back at the beginning of Sechet with the din of Shalal Lishma. So Chatas Ha'of, if you do the Malika Shalal Lishma, or you do the Mitzvah Shalal Lishma, there's no Kabbalah, so you can't do that Shalal Lishma, and there's no Halacha, so you can't do that Shalal Lishma, so you only have two Matirin that will make it possible. If you're Mitzvah Dama Shalal Lishma, or for that matter, if you do Lishma, the Shalal Lishma. So first you did it Lishma, let's see, you did the Mitzvah Lishma, sorry, and you did the Malika Lishma, and then you did the Mitzvah Shalal Lishma, or vice versa. Or you did first Shalal Lishma, and then you did it Lishma, it doesn't matter. Any of the Matirin that are done Shalal Lishma, pasa. And when it comes to the Eilas Ha'of, there's no problem of Shalal Lishma, remember, in terms of the kashrus, but it's L'alta L'Balim L'Shem Chova, exactly the same lashon that we used by the difference of an Elas Behema and a Chatas Behema. Same words, except here we're talking about a bird. Now, whether you come to the Chatas or the Ola, and we're talking about a bird, Echad Chatata Ov, Echad Olata Ov, whether we're talking about the Chatas or we're talking about Ola. But again, Echad Chatas Ov, Echad Ola, sorry. Shemalakon, or Mitzad Damam, so you did either Malika or you did the Mitzvah. We're talking about Mitzvah in the general sense, because there's more than just Mitzvah when it comes to the Chatas, there's the Hazan. And you did this with the Machshava to eat a Dover Shadaka L'Echol. So it's something that is brought up, and that's in the case of the Ola, where you bring things up, or Dover Shadal Akhtir, Dover Shadarko, Lit Akhtirs. Dover Shadarko Lechol is only possible on the Chatas. Or Lakhtir, Dover Shadarko Lakhtir, which is only possible on the Ola, as opposed to a Chatas Behemoth, which could have either part. If you had a Machshava of Chutz L'Mikomo, it would be possible Behemoth Kores. If it's Chutz's mano, it would be Pigol and Chayev Kores on one condition. And that is that you didn't mess it up by having something else that destroyed the Pigol. And that's called Bavad She Yakriv HaMatir. The Matir has to be brought Kemitzvato. That again is the claw of Kehartzaat Kasher Kahartzaat Pasul. What do we mean when we say Sheyakriva Matir Kemitzvato? Is that everything else has to be done properly. So what does it mean to do things properly? So that would mean, let's say you do the Malika without having a Machshava Psul. And then you do the Mitzri Chutz L'Zmano. Or you do the Malika Chutz L'Zmano. And then you do the Mitzri without any particular Kavana, one or the other. Or you did the whole thing Chutz L'Zmano. That's called perfect. As long as you didn't mess it up in any way, you did the Aveda properly. And since you did it properly, of course, only vis-a-vis the Pigol, it's proper, but you did it properly for the Pigol. So then it's proper Pigol, and you would be Chayiv Kares. But what do we mean when we say, so that would be, let's say, you were Molach Chutz L'Zmano, but then you went ahead and you were Matze Chutz L'Mekomo. Or maybe you did the Malika, and you had in mind the Malika of Chutz L'Zmano, and the Mitzri was Chutz L'Mekomo. Or maybe you did the Malika, the Mitzri, and both of them were Chutz L'Mekomo. Then obviously, in that case, it would be a messed up matir. Or let's say, if it comes to a chattas, there's another way to mess up the matir, because then shelo l'shma messes up the matir. So if it's a chattas of which you did malika shelo l'shma, that's the end of it. Because then even if you do the mitzri chutz l'zmano, it's not really pigo. Or let's say you do the malika of chutz l'zmano, but then you threw in a shelo l'shma on the mitzri. It's not Pigol in terms of Kores, because you already passed it with the Shalom Shema anyway, so it's not Mukrov Lamatim Kemitzvasa. Well, let's say you did Malika and the Mitzvah, all Shalom Shema. Well, obviously, that's not called Matir Mitzvasa. And in that case, there'd be no way to be Machayev you correct. Now, there's another way in which you will mess up the Pigol, and that would be that you had a Machshava of Chutz L'Zmano, but it's not of the correct material. Remember, there always has to be an object of pigol. So suppose you chose the wrong object. You had in mind to eat a kezayis b'chutz and a kezayit l'machar. This is a different way of mixing machshava. A kezayis l'machar and a kezayis b'chutz. A kezayis chutz l'zmano. Or a chatzi zayit of chutz and a chatzi zayit of l'machar. In all of those cases, it would be a mixture, not because of the difference of the Aveda, but a difference in what the object was. So you mixed something that was something roe for Achila, and something that was roe for something else. Not that you mixed the Machshava, but you mixed the pieces in the Machshava. That's also mixing Machshava. And that also ruins the pigol. It's basel ve'ein bo karet. Rabbi Yehuda says, zeh haklal. It's not true what you said. It actually goes according to what your first machshava was. If your first machshava was about, this is the same Rabbi Yehuda that we had before, legabe behima and pigol. If the machshava says man comes first, before the machshava is hamokim, then it's pigol, and you'd be chayev kores. If the Machshavas Hamokam comes first, then it's not Pigol, because then you ruined it before you got to the Pigol. But if you started with the Pigol of Chutz L'Zmano, then it would actually still be a Pigol, because afterwards, the Pigol already took place. And remember, we say it took place, it only incipiently took place, because the pigel isn't chal until you complete the matir, remember. Or, let's say you had in mind to eat a chatzisayas, and to be makter a chatzisayas. You cannot be mitzarev, achila, and haktorah. Now, this doesn't make any sense, right? Because this sentence only makes sense if you're talking about an animal. Because with an animal, you could have a chatas that was, some of it was going to be eaten, and some of it was going to be put on the mizbeach. But when it comes to a bird, you can't have the same bird having a part that's roi l'achila of Adam and a part that's roi for akrava on the mizbeach. It's either or. And therefore, this part of the Mishnah is just gobbledygook. It doesn't make any sense. How could you be mitzarev on something that's roi l'achila? It has to be roi l'achila sadam with something that's roi l'achtara. If it's an Eila, no part of it is Roi L'Achila. And if it's a Chatas, no part of it is Roi L'Achtara. So how the heck would you ever think that you could be Mitzarefin? Well, this is something of a conundrum, and there's many approaches to what the Mishnah might mean, even to some of the Mefarshei Mishnah, explaining that it doesn't really mean anything, it's just a continued parallel that we throw in to the opening Mishnah of the Behemah, which is supposed to sound the same, which difficult to buy. Some of the Achronim or Mefarshei Mishnah or Mefarshei that way. So there are a number of Tirutzim. The simplest Tirutz is that this would be going according to the Shita that we had earlier by the Behemah, that the question of something that is roi l'achilas adam is not necessarily that it's meant to be roi, but remember we had that one shita that if you decide that something which is edible for an adam, but which is meant for the mizbeach, or something that is edible for an adam was meant to be, it's usable for the mizbeach because it's a murim, but it's meant for the adam, if you do that, you would also be chayav. So in other words, if you eat meat, then that would be, even if it's meant to be put on the mizbeach as an eila, it would still be considered to be a machshavas pigel because you were going to eat it. That was a machshavas pigel by behemah. So this part of the Mishnah would make sense. You had in mind to eat something that, even though it's an eila, is edible for adam. Ah, so then you could have it tzirah. You might think you would have it tzirah of a chatzisayas and a chatzisayas to be mitzarif achiva v'aftor, and the rest of it you were going to be putting up, the other chatzisayas you were going to be putting up on the mizbeach. Therefore, the Mishnah comes to tell you that there's also another problem, namely, you cannot be mitzarif achilas ha-mizbeach and achilas adam, which we spoke about earlier, and we brought a raya, that it's different types of achilas. Now remember, it's only different types of achilas, but if you used it in a lashon of Sureifa. Remember that there was such a thing as a tziruf, not b'derach achila. Okay, just reminding you of that general rule. Okay, I don't want to keep you any longer, even though I really overdid your time on the Mishnah.
Rabbi, what does the Chachamim say, Zev is a pasul v'im bokaris? Why do they hold both their pasul? Why isn't one pigol if you were makdim the kutzlis mano?
Rav Barnea, I mentioned at least four times during the course of the introduction, Ka'atza'at kasher, Ka'atza'at pasul. You cannot have something that had a different psul attached to it. So if you introduced, are you asking why do we repeat it? Is that what you're asking?
That's a whole question, but no, but I was asking Pasha Pshat, why, what are they arguing with Rabbi Yehuda?
They're arguing about whether, first of all, some take out the Girsa completely. So that's the easiest explanation. But we had the same question when it came to the Behemah, and we said over there it's repeated only to tell you that the Halacha is like the Chachamim. Some say we do the same here, even though it's not Nogea. But in any event, the reason is the question of whether we look at your first Machshava, and we say that incipient Pigel is also enough to be koveil of people. So once you did something, according to Rabbi Yehuda, since at the end, when you finally do complete the Akrobas HaMatir, it will be Pigel. It's as if the Pigel was Chal now. And once the Pigel is Chal incipiently, what you do afterwards is not going to remove the Pigel. That was a Machshava, any Machshava, let's, on the Chattas of Chutz, of Shelo Lishma, of the Bailam, of Shelo Lishma, of the Korban, is not going to pasul according to Reb Yehuda, because you already, so to speak, pasuled it when you had the Machshava, first Machshava of Chutz Lizmana. Ashenkin, the Chachamim say, what do you mean? The Pigel is only going to be Chal at the end of the process. So what do you mean, incipient Pigel? The fact that you had a Machshav of Chutz Lizmana didn't turn it into a Chiyav Chattas yet. It only becomes a Chiyav Chattas on the Behema after you finish the Zrika, and on the Oaf after you finished the Mitzri or the Chitri, or the Amandazah, depending on the Korban, right? And therefore, incipient Pigel doesn't pasul. And since before you got to the end of the Matir, you actually passed it with the Machshev Shelo Lishma, Bechatas or Shelo B'Makomo, either a Bechatas or Naila, it was a mixture of Machshevis, and therefore it cannot be Chayev Kares as real Pigel.
Okay, so now let's take a look at the Psukim of the Eilas Ha'ov and Tana Rabbanu. This we're going to figure out a lot of the Mekoros that we haven't yet brought up, we're going to look at here in the Braita. So it says in the Pasuk, V'im min ha'of ola korban ola ha'chpla Hashem. Now listen carefully, because we've got some extra words over here. V'hi kriv min ha'torim o min b'nei ha'yonah et korbano. So it already said to be makriv. And now it throws in the next Pasuk, V'hi krivo ha'kohen el ha'mizbeach. Now what the heck is that supposed to mean? Because since it already said V'ikriv min ha'torim u'min b'nei ha'yonah, and the Malika is done on next in the Mizbeah. So there's no V'ikrivo, which it meant, you know, when we're talking about the Behema over there, it meant to bring the Dam, which was Halacha, it's in Kabbalah, but over here there's no such thing, and it can't be, we didn't even do the Malika yet, it's obviously not referring to that, it's not referring to bringing that Malika, because the Malika we know from elsewhere, that we're doing that next to the Mizbeach. Why does it say V'hikrivo? Answers the Gemara. The reason it says V'hikrivo is because, since it said in the previous pasuk, V'hikriv min hatorim o min b'nei hayonah. And there it used a Lashon Rabin, torim b'nei yonah. If it wouldn't have said V'hikrivo, I might have thought that the only way that you can bring a korban with an oaf is if you're bringing a pair. So yochal mitnadev oaf lo yivchot mishnei fredim. So if I want to dedicate a bird on my own, I have to bring a minimum of two. That's what it says. If you're going to bring a korban, im min haoaf o la korbanu min hatorim umim b'nei hayonah, tamud omar v'yikrivo lashon yachid, to teach me if a person wishes, afilu preda achat yavi. He could even bring a single bird as a korban to the Mizbeah. Okay, so then it says, HaKohen El HaMizbeah. Now, if it's El HaMizbeah, isn't it obvious that it has to be a Kohen, because a Zar doesn't come near to the Mizbeah? So why does it say HaKohen? That's likvo lo kohen. That's to tell me that you must do Malika with a kohen and not with a zar. Well, why would I have thought otherwise? Because yochal halodinu. If a ben son, we're talking about an animal that you're bringing as an ayla, and over there you have a chumra that has to be dafka in the tzafon. Nonetheless, the Torah didn't say you need a kohen. Even a zar is kosher for shechita. So the oath, where there's not even a hakvod on a particular place where you have to do it, the Torah wasn't koveyat sofon, so enodin shelo yigbal lo kohen, isn't it absolutely clear that in such a case, you don't need a kohen to do the malika? That's why it says hakohen. Dafka, a kohen has to do the malika. Now, you would furthermore have thought that you can do the malika and probably supposed to do the Malika with a knife. The difference between the Shechita and the Malika, I would have thought, is that the Shechita is done at the neck and the Malika is done on the nape of the back of the head, right? But, I mean, certainly I would need a knife. I mean, isn't it clear? It's a Kal Vachomer. If Shkita, well, we don't even need a Kohen. You can use a Zar. Nonetheless, you absolutely must use a knife. Now, that's actually learned out from the Akedah, in which it says, Vayikach et ha-ma'akelet lishchot et menos. So you see that you need a kli for Shkita. So, you know, Dan, in this case, where you were being more machmir, you need dafka koi. So for sure you should need a knife. Eino din sheikvala kli. Talmud lomar hakohen umalak. That's why we put together these two words. That the ikriv hakohen umalak, that means to tell me not only that you need a kohen for malika, but it also comes to tell me that the malika shall be done with the etzem body of the kohen. How do I know that? Omer Rabbi Akiva, look, of course it's got to mean that. Because do you really think, is it possible that you really thought that what? That a czar is going to be the one that comes up to Mizbeach, and therefore you need to know that it should be a Kohen? I mean, remember that one of the dinim that we learn out about the whole interrelationship of Shevet Levi and Kahuna in terms of the Shmira, where Klal Yisrael was so nervous about getting into trouble, getting too close. So it says, "Bishamru mishmar tachal mishmeret kol ha'ol achal kli hakodesh v'la mizbeach lo yikurevu." This is even Levi. They shouldn't get close to the kodesh and the mizbeach v'lo yamutu gam heim gam atem. I mean, so what did you think? We're going to have like these zarim walking around by the mizbeach? Of course not. Therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, the point of mentioning the Kohen is not the Kohen as the Kedushas HaKohuna, but the Kohen means the body of the Kohen, which refers to his Tziporim for the Tzipor, and that is Shetehe Malika Ba'atzmo Shel Kohen. Now, you might think that you could do this anywhere on the Mizbeach, whether it's Mala Michuta Sikra, and you're standing on top of the Mizbeach, or you're standing on the Sovev, or you might think you could be standing on the ground, and it doesn't make any difference, which would be the Mata Michut HaSikra. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, this is to tell me that the Malika itself has to be in the Mokam Sheiktir. And therefore, when it says, Umalak, in that pasuk, followed with Viktir HaMizbeach, then that comes to tell me, just like the Haktara is right at the top of the Mizbeach, so to the Malika has to be done at the top of the Mizbeach. Then the Braisa says, let's take a look at that word Malika again. So Malak, even though it doesn't explain it over here, however, we do learn out from the Chata Sofer, it says Beferish, that it has to be Mimul or Po. So that is what we're using here as the lashon. We just use it automatically because that was the lashon of the Torah. So we say it means mimul or po. You say that's where to cut it. I mean, why wouldn't we do the malika the same place we do the shkita? Oh, you know, elominat savar. I mean, all we've learned is that we need a kohen and that we don't use a knife. But we didn't say to do it backwards, did it? At least not with the Ayla. Ah. Actually, Redinu, we could learn that out from Gzeirah Shavah. It says the word Umalak over here by the Olam, and it says the word by Malak by the Chatatz. And in both cases, therefore, we're going to learn one out from the other. Just like by the Chatatz, it says Beferish, Mimul or Po, Afkan, Mimul Ha'orev. So just like it says Umalak at Rosho, Mimul or Po, below Yabgil, by the Chatas, so at least that part of Mimul or Po. Ah, you'll tell me, but it says there v'lo yavdil. So then maybe that should be the din of the Ola as well. Afkan moleg po sh'lo yavdil. Talmud lomar, that's why the Pasuk then puts together Malika with the Haktara, from which we can also learn that just like Haktara, the Rosh is La'atzmo and the Guf is La'atzmo. And how we know that, we're going to ask in a moment. But just like, and we saw in the Mishnah that we do each one separate, we put the Rosh into the Melach, and then we throw it onto the Mizbeach, then we take the Guf, and we take care of the Guf, we put it onto the Mizbeach. So just like they are separated, when we say really separated, of course what we mean is that for all intents and purposes, that's how Rashi is, for all intents and purposes, having cut through both the Kana and the Veshet, it's separated. Remember, according to the Rambam, it means literally, it's separated. So, Ma'ak Torah, Rosh La'atzmo, V'aguf La'atzmo, Afman Lika, Rosh La'atzmo, V'aguf La'atzmo. So, therefore, it cannot mean what it is that you think, that it would not be Ma'avdil, by the Ayla, the same way by the Chattas is not Ma'avdil, because that we're told not to think about it that way, since it needs to be the equivalent of the Haktorah. But how do you know? Uminayin, why are you taking for granted that the Haktorah of the Ayla's Ha'of is done with Harosh Ba'atzmo V'Haguf Ba'atzmo? That's because in the same, actually the next Pasuk is V'Yiktir Oto. Oto, again, means it. And that was referring to what? Hishisaoto biknafav lo yavdio v'kiroto hakarein ha-mizbecha. So there, it means actually, it's a reference to aguf, because that's the meaning of the Haktorah that we mentioned there with the Katas. And therefore, when it says v'kir ha-mizbecha before, I mean, this, how can you do it before? V'kivav en al-mizbeach u'malak et rosho, v'hiktir ha-mizbecha, v'nim tzaddam o'akir ha-mizbeach. So then how does it say later, v'shisa oto b'knafav lo yavdil v'hiktir oto ha-kohen ha-mizbecha? I thought we just did that. So obviously, what it said before v'hiktir, it had to be referring not to the same thing that we're now going to be re-burning. Obviously, what happened over here is we did the rosh, and then we do the goof. Which means that we literally have a separate Haktorah Saguf and a separate Haktorah Sarosh. Okay, the Pasuk then continues on to say, V'nim tsa domo. Domo means all of its dam. It doesn't say mi domo, it says damo. So that means we're talking here with the Eila, and that means you have to squeeze it out here on this Be'ach. It doesn't say anything about sprinkling it. And it stresses, it has to be the Kir on this Be'ach. And that means you're not going to get away with using the Kir of the Kevesh or the Kir of the Heichal. It's got to be the Kir of the Mizbeach. And the Yisoot is changed to read the also Lelo Al-Kir Ha'ulam, because that was the lesson we had yesterday. Which kir do we mean? The Ezeze kir elyon. It's got to be referring to the top, above the chutasitra. Maybe not. Maybe it's referring to the kir atachton for an ola. And you could also say it's much more reasonable that it would refer to the kir atachton, because v'dinu, if a behema where the chatas itself is brought l'mal, nonetheless, the Eila is brought Lamata, an oath where even the Chatas is brought Lamata, so that means that we're less Machshiv the oath, and certainly the Eila should be Lamata, which we already saw, we're less Machshiv in terms of the Mokam on the Mizbeach for the Dam. Tamudomaru Molak Viktir Vinimtsa. Therefore, to make it very clear, the Pasuk puts together Malika, Haktorah, and Mitzui. Now, let me ask you something. Malika, Haktorah, and Mitzui, this makes sense to anybody normal? If you already burnt it, how could you possibly squeeze its blood out? So, you think it means, does anybody normal think that after you did the Haktorah, you can go back and do the Mitzui Adam? Ella, this is clearly Lomalacha, that just like, it's basically there to make the Hekesh of just like the Haktorah is the Rosh HaMizbeach, so to the Mitzui has to be on the Rosh HaMizbeach, meaning the top part, the closer part to the Mokum of the Haktorah, which means it should be on the Kira Elya. Okay, so therefore, practically speaking, what would you do? You would go up to the Kevesh, as the Mishnah says, turn right on the exit to the Sovev, you come and then to the, when you make your first right, as you get off of the Kevesh, you arrive immediately at the Keren Dromit Mizrahi. That is where you would, on the Sovev, be Molek, the Rosh Mimulor Pa, and you would be Mavdil, as we said in the Mishnah, and you would then be Mematze, the Dam, on the Kir of the Mizbeach, which is above you, And that would be fine. Now, lamaisa, if you put your hand down, so remember the sovev was actually one amma above the chutasikra. So technically speaking, if you got down, as long as you kept your hand above the chutasikra, and Dr. Barry didn't try disappearing, in that case it would be kosher, and it would be still above the chutasikra, because even though you got your hand down under the sovev, you still have one amma to go till you reach the chutasikra. So you've got up to an amma of leeway over there to bring the dam. Is Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omrin? Absolutely not. Kol atzma eina naaseit ela berosh hamizbeah. Look, how could you put it on that part? The very least that it means, when we learn out from the contention of the Haktorah to the Mitzvah, is that it's got to be near the place where you're going to actually be burning. Now, on the area of the actual Mizbeah, from the Sovev up, there you're talking about the burning surface. I mean, you're talking about the underpart of the, but you're talking about stones that culminate on top on the burning surface. So there, if I'm learning that it's supposed to be close to the Mokum of Haktorah, I understand. It doesn't mean you put it onto the fire, obviously, but you're putting it onto that top part of the Mizbeah, those three Amos, which are the essential Mizbeah. And if you say that now you're allowed to put your hand down under the Sovev, so then it's not near the burning surface of the Mizbeah at all. So then what was the point of the Pasuk? It doesn't really mean anything about the Mokum Haktorah. So therefore, it's got to be on the piece, which is the Rosh HaMizbeah. So that's a good point. I mean, what actually is the Machlokas? It's a brilliant Machlokas. The Machlokas is whether this Sovev is considered to actually be a Mizbeah. Suppose you put a Ma'arocha of Esh on the Sovev, and you bring something on the Sovev. That's the Machlokas. According to the Tanna Kamma, you would actually be able to be makriv on the Sovev because it's also a burning surface. Masha Inkin, if that's the case, therefore, so if I put it an amma beneath the Sovev, it's close to the burning surface, and it's still above the Chutasikra. And therefore, according to the Tanna Kamma, it would be kosher. Meshenken, according to Nechemia, and according to Eliezer and Yaakov, you can only burn on the top part of the three amma high above the Sovev piece. That's the Machlokes. Now, the Mishnah said, so that was the Mokar in the Braita to all of that part of the Mishnah. Then it continues on when we got to the din of taking out the Mura of the Neitza. Where does that come from? Okay, so let's take a look at the next part of the Mishnah. Next part of the Mishnah says, Bolo the Guf, and then he would take out the Mura, the Neitza, and whatever comes out with them, and he would throw it to the Beit HaDesh. It says in the Pasuk, very clearly, V'yisir et Murato b'notzata, so now, those words, the mur'ah, what is that? The mur'ah is the zefek. So the zefek is sort of a diverticulus that comes between the mouth and the stomach. And that, as I said, is a place where things gather, something like an appendix in an intestines of a human, where things gather in that area, but over here, it's gradually emptied after the bird fills it with seeds, which it then can carry around for a while. It doesn't eat a seed and then start digesting it immediately. It keeps building up its food supply. And then, ultimately, it reaches the kurkavan, which is extremely muscular because these seeds need a lot of grinding. As a matter of fact, there are many birds that actually swallow stones to be in the kurkavan so that the stones help to grind the seeds. And what it is that over here you do is you take out, first we understand the word mur'ah, is the Zefik. Now, you might think that that means that you should do a laparoscopic operation by putting a knife underneath the skin and feathers of the bird, removing the Zefik carefully from under the skin, leaving you, and as Rashi points out, butchers do this to leave a nice-looking bird that doesn't look ripped up, so they do laparoscopy. And you might think that's how you should do it. Talmud Lomar benotzata. No, no, no. Take the feathers with it, which means notel et hanotza ima. That means that you're cutting through the skin, which takes off the feathers. Abi Yosi ben Chanan omer, notla venotel kurkevana ima. You also have to take the kurkevan because the word, as Rashi says, the word netz is also a word for filth. So that means that this is mechayev you to take not the feathers, but rather the nates, the dirty part, which means to take even the kurkuma. Devei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, the word benotzata means benotza shela. How do you do it? Kodra besakin kimina ruba. So you cut a small window to get out the actual zefek from it. And then everything that comes out of the zefek comes out from there. Shisav v'lo yivdil. Now the Mishnah says that you would tear the actual, along the spine, you would pull the two sides of the oaf's body apart, but you don't separate them into actually half birds. Toner abonan v'shisa. You know how you do shisua? You do it the way Shimshon HaGibor's did it. What does it say over there? That the lion cubs were coming to attack him. He picks them up. And he actually rips them into two, and it says over there, "Vatitzlach l'abruach Hashem, vayishaseu kishisa hagedim uuma ein biyado." He wasn't holding anything in his hand, so he did this with his raw hand, and that's the same word that it uses here. Ein shisua, therefore, ela biyad. He's got to tear it with the hand. V'chenu omer vayishaseu kishisa hagedim. Without holding any kind of kli. Next thing in the Mishnah is that if you were, so it starts off by saying that if you did an actual Havdalah on the Chatas, or you did not do the Havdalah on the Eila, or Lo Hisir et HaMur'ah, in that case it would be Pasa. Now that din that says that if you actually do a Havdalah on a Chatas, that passes it. That's not true according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya. Omar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Shamati, I heard that you can be mavdil the chatas off. Well, that you're actually, if that's the case, then when it says the lo yavdil, it may be an iser, but it doesn't mean that it's ma'akiv. So if you did it, there's no ikuva. My binayu. So what is this based on, this machlokas? Why, according to the Tanakhama, is it actually a psul? And according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, it's not. Omer of Chista, the difference is mitzvei chatas of ma'akev. As we already mentioned when we were talking about the Mishnah, question is, this din of mitzvei of the chatas, which comes after the hazah of the chatas, l'mala, b'chuta sikra, there's also the din of the mitzui, which is done the same way that Shricha Shirayim by Behima is done to the Yesod. There's also a separate mitzui of the equivalent of Shirayim on the Chatas. That's the Nafkamina. If you hold that mitzui, the oaf is ma'akim, so then we've got our machlokas set out in front of us. Because remember, as we spoke about yesterday, there's a special psul on the dinim of the ofot. And that is that if you do a maisa chatas to the oila, or you do a maisa oila to the chatas, that is itself ipso facto a psul. It doesn't matter the technical details of is this particular thing ma'akev, but that particular thing is ma'akev. A mis hakrava, so to speak, in which you're doing the wrong acts, or all we're going to see later on how we know this, is itself going to pass. So now, we need to set up, actually, a picture for ourselves. What are the essential points which cause a confusion about whether we're doing a Maisa Chatas or a Maisa Ela. So now, since we have how to do the Malika, that's done differently. If you are Mavdil and you're not Mavdil, that sounds like an essential difference, which, of course, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon is saying over here, no, it actually is not. And then we've got the way in which we do the Dam. Now, if you just look at it from a simple, superficial point of view, it's very easy to be Mechalik. We say, well, the Hakravas HaDam of Achatas Of is done through Hazayah, not through Mitzvah. And the Hakravas HaDam of an Eilas Of is done through Mitzvah. So that would mean that if you change one for the other, you killed it. But what about if you hold that a Chatas Of also requires Mitzvah? So if the Tanakama who holds that Mitzui is part of the actual din of a Chatas Of, since that's what he holds, Kivan, the Mitzui Adam Ma'akev, as the Bach says, so Kivan, the Mitzui Adam Ma'akev, then that would mean that you're doing everything Ka'avin Maisa Ola B'Chatas Of. Because since we have this general klal that you cannot change the overall identification of the bird, well, we've got two essential things. We've got the malika, and we've got the dam. The ola has a special malika because you need to be mavdil versus the chatas, and it also has a special way to bring the dam, which is the mitzvah. But if lemaisa, you hold that you do a mitzvah and must do a mitzvah on the chatas as well, so then it's not the mitzvah that's going to make the essential difference. It's only, you're left with only the malika to make that difference. So if that's the case, if you hold that mitzvah is an essential part of the chatas, then the thing that completely distinguishes the chatas from the oila in an oath is whether or not you were actually changed the malika to cut through both simanim, even for the chatas, which you weren't supposed to do. That would be doing a maisa oilasa of to a chatasa of. Now, it's obvious that there's another difference. As Tosis points out, why don't we say the place is different? Whether you're doing it above the chutasikra or lamata be chutasikra. Tosis says that this whole psul of doing a maisa chatas to an oila or a maisa oila to a chatas means a maisa that is done directly to the bird. The whereabouts of that maisa is not what we're referring to when you say you did a maisa like. But we'll see later on that the placement is going to be an important ingredient later on, which we'll get to very soon, in determining an interesting question, which is if you brought the oila sa'ov, really thinking it was a chata sa'ov, and you brought it l'shem chatas of, and therefore you treated it entirely like a chatas, meaning you changed the malika, the mitzui, and the place, and the machshava. So if you change everything, would that actually turn the olas of into a chatas of? That is a sheet that we have later on, and it ends up making a tremendous difference, because if you actually changed it into a chatas, then it would actually be a kosher carbon, and therefore you wouldn't be mayo anymore in it, because it was nasis mitzvase. That we're going to see as a machlokas later. So it isn't fair to say that the place is irrelevant. The place is relevant. So that there's four things that we need to think about as being relevant in the interrelationship between the two karbanas, if we're also considering the question of me'ila, and not simply the kashras. Those four things are, once again, the thought about what do I think it is? What's my kavanah in bringing it? The place, which in the eila is above the chutasikra, and in the chatas is lamatami chutasikra. The Maisa of the Malika, which in the Eila cuts through both the Kana and the Veshet, and in the Chatas cuts through either the Kana and the Veshet, but Velo Yavdil. And last of all, do I do the bringing of the Dam Bahazayah, or do I do the bringing of the Dam B'Mitzui? Those are the differences. If, according to the Tanakhama, you need mitzvah bechatas also, then mitzvah is no longer unique, and the placement doesn't count, and we're not dealing with machshava. So therefore, when we talk about a maisa, and that's the stress of this psul, to be oisa to an oilas of a maisa chatas of, or vice versa. So then you would be doing a 100% maisa oilas of, by changing just the malika, because the mitzvah is not sufficiently distinguished, since there is a mitzvah also, true, albeit it's only also, but still, it's no longer unique to the oil of the mitzvah. And therefore, since we're focusing on the uniqueness, the Tanakhama says, if you change the malika, you just blew the whole thing, because that's the only real distinguishing feature that we mean when we say you do a mice of oila to a chatas. Masha enkin, if you hold that the mitzvah is not ma'akev, so then the halacha would be that you still have two distinguishing features. That's why Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says, if you just change one of them, which is that you changed the malika and you did a havdalah by a chatas of, it would still be kosher because you did not do a maisa of an oila to a chatas. Got it? You have to really be now immersed in the sugya to feel completely at home in the issues that are nogeya chatas and oilas of. Otherwise, this can get extremely confusing. But it's really very, very simple and very straightforward. So that would be the machlokas. So if Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon holds that mitzvah chatas ha'of is not important, therefore, mitzvah is the distinguishing feature only of the oila. And therefore, if you went ahead and you did a type of malika that would be cutting through the second siman of a chatas, you have not actually done something that is entirely an oila thing. And so what we look at it is, okay, so you cut a piece of its meat. What's the difference? It's not important. It's not an actual definition of an oila. And therefore, your mechatech basar b'alma. Is there something wrong with cutting more meat? Of course not. So because of that, you can actually go ahead and cut it also. What's the big deal? Rava Amar? Rava says, I have a different explanation. Now, gentlemen, a brief introduction to Rava's explanation. Remember that there are five different psulim in an act of shechita. One of those psulim is called shihiyah. Shihiyah means that if you're shechting a behemah, then if you take time, you cut through the veshet, and you wait long enough to complete the shechita, and then you cut the kana, or vice versa, the shechita is pasul. That's one of the ikar dinim halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai that was meant by the posik v'zavachta ka'asher tziviticha. You have to do the shechita the way Moshe Rabbeinu gave it over. It's one of the few places where the Torah says beferish. You know what the din is. I explained to you how to do it. Do it right. Okay, so obviously it's a reference to a Torah Shebaal Peh that was given over by Moshe, and one of them is the shechita. Now the question is, if you're really not doing a shechita, you're doing a malika, is there a din of shechita for malika? Because, I mean, yes, it's true there's a din of havdalah by the olas ha'of, and that would mean you need to cut through both the kana and the veshet, agreed. But it's not an act of shechita. It's not done with a knife. It's not done on the neck. Stump from the back of the neck. So now that is a fascinating question of the interrelationship of malika and shechita, and it would make all the difference in how to understand what the din would be if you went ahead and continued to do a havdalah on a chatas ha'of. Because our machlokas here to explain the difference between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, is whether shiyya b'siman sheni b'ola ta'ov is actually one of the psulim like it would be in shechita. That's the difference. The Tanakhama holds shiyya b'siman sheni b'ola ta'ov is not a psul. Now, if that's the case, it means that cutting through the two simanim of the bird's neck do not have to be done without any time between them, as long as you get them done properly. It won't be absurd. If that's the case, then you've got a problem, because then if you do that to a chatas, you are still doing something that can be done to an oila. Why do I say that? That's because of a different halacha, which we spoke about yesterday. In order to avoid what I told you was the Gemara in Chulin, that in the event that either an animal or a bird has a broken neck and also has a torn spinal cord and also has most of the musculature cut through around the neck, it may be talking to you, but it's dead. And it's metame like a nevela, literally like a nevela. So therefore, there's no possible way that the Torah could have said to cut through those simonim after the bird is dead, is there? I mean, that's ridiculous. What are you cutting through the simonim? That would be mechatech basa, wouldn't be mechatech simonim. And therefore, the procedure for doing the chatas is that first you get to the first simon, whichever one you choose, the kona or the veshet, however you've twisted the neck to get your nail into that, through that simon. First you cut through that simon. Before you break a neck, cut through a spinal cord, or break through the bosa. Then you go and you cut through the neck bone, the vertebrae, you cut through the spinal cord, and the rova bosa. So now, if you're going to go ahead and wait to do the second, whether it's the kona or the veshet, but you went ahead and continued to cut through after you already went ahead and you waited the way you normally would wait between the two, then what you're doing is just cutting through a piece of dead meat. You're not cutting through a real kona and a veshet. But if you hold that a shehiya actually is a psul, so then that's exactly why it wouldn't be a problem, because this has nothing to do, wouldn't be kosher with the oila. But the Tanakama hold, with the chatas, but the, I meant exactly what I said. Wouldn't be kosher with an oila, so it wasn't a maisa oila. So the Tanakama holds that even if you would have done a delayed cutting through of the other simon on an oila, it would have been okay, as long as you hadn't made it dead, obviously, in between, but the delay is not important, so the shehiya is irrelevant. So therefore, if in the end you cut through both on your chatas, then you're doing a maisa oila bechatas. And as we said, a maisa oila bechatas is a psul. Whereas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon holds, no. If you had waited between the kona and the veshet, or the veshet and the kona on the oila, the din is that it would have been pasul. And therefore, if you waited, and over here you would wait, because that was the way that you did the act of a chatas. The chatas was first done by doing it either kona or veshet, and then waiting. Normally, in that wait, you would have cut through also the neck bone and the spinal cord and the basa, fine. In this case, you went ahead and you cut through the other simon. So then you did a shehiya. And that is not the way that would have been kosher on an oila. So you did not do a mice of an oila sarf. It's as simple as that. So kivan deshahaye, since you did a shehiya, if you then subsequently went ahead, because you needed to cut through at least the basa, even if you didn't get through the neck bone yet, so then you're a mechatech basar b'yalma. So then when you cut through the kona or the veshet, that's not doing a kona or a veshet. That's a pasul malika anyway on an oila. And therefore, you might as well be cutting through its foot. What does it have to do with anything? And because of that, it's not going to pasul. Therefore, says Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, how is that a mice of an oila to a chatas? Excuse me, sir. If you did that to an oila, it would be pasul. Why? Because you were Shaya, and Shaya is a psul in Shchita, and it's also a psul in Malika. A brilliant explanation. Abaye says, there's a simple way to understand it, not about whether Shehiya is a psul. Shehiya is definitely a psul, but the question is whether there needs to be a Shehiya. What do you mean? Does the Chatas actually insist that you cut through a row of basar? before you do anything else? If it does, then that's enough to make a shiya, and therefore there's no way in which you're going to avoid it, right? So that even though the Tanakhama agrees that Lamaisa, you wouldn't actually pasul the chatas because you had to cut through the basar, but what we would say is, you know what? What if the Kohen actually doesn't cut the basar? And what if he actually does it right away? And then there's no guarantee that there will be a shehiya, and then it would be a maisa oila se'olav to a chatas. Don't you have to worry about that? And therefore, the Rabban had said, it's pasul by definition. So therefore, we make that takana. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, you can't get away without cutting the basar. It's part of the ikur din of the chatas. And therefore, you're always going to make a shehiya. So there's nothing to be gozer. Since the only way you'd have a kosher chatas anyway would be to make a shehiya, so then you didn't do a maisa v'naila because it would have passed it. So this boils down to the same idea of Rav's brilliant insight that we could be talking about a shehiya, and the machlokas between Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and the Tanakhama is only whether do we need to worry that there would have been a shehiya or not. And that would be dependent on whether a chatas must have the basar cut through or not. If it must, so then there's no way to get it done without a shiya. If it's only the recommended procedure, so to speak, it's a lechatchila, so then the rabbanon might have been geyser that it looks too much like a maizai lasov, because theoretically it's possible that the kohen would have skipped cutting through the basar and therefore would have been pasul. So we pasul that as a blanket psul. So this is a variation on a theme by Rava, right? So we've got three possibilities so far. Starting from the top, we have Rav Chista's approach about whether mitzui is unique to the oila or whether it's also a ma'akid by a chatas. Then we've got Rava's approach about whether shehiya is a psul. And then we've got Abaye's pshat about whether you have to, definitely shehiya is a psul, but do you have to assume necessarily there would be a shehiya or not? And that would spell the difference. Now, this machlokas between Abaye and Rava actually is a machlokas that we know from earlier diras. And that would be the same way that Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak argued about this. Chad amar shehiya b'simen sheni ba'elas ha'avika b'nayo, v'chad amar rov b'asim ha'avika b'nayo, exactly the machlokas of Rava and Abaye. Okay, but apparently, I mean, if that's the machlokas, we're taking it for granted that you definitely lechatchila need to cut through the rov basar. How do we know that? Because everybody seems to have taken that for granted. So miklal to be in a rov basar betchila after you cut through the first either corner of veshet? Oh, absolutely. It says it clearly in a braita. Vatanya. Ketzad mokin chatas ha'ov. Chotech shidra umafreka, you can cut through the spinal cord and the column, but you have to make sure that you don't cut through the rov basar. And so you cut through to get to the veshet or the kana, and only then, after igil veshet or kana, you then cut through one of the simanim, or rov, and then you cut the rov basar. And ba'ela, you cut through shnaim, or rov shnaim. That's the point. So they said over this machlokas, Amur Kameda Rabbi Yirmiyah, and they said the machlokas between Rabbi Zeira and Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, and pointed out, you know, it's the same machlokas we have here in Abaye and Rava, and they said that to explain the two approaches to the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and they said this over to Rabbi Yirmiyah, and Rabbi Yirmiyah said, what the heck is wrong with these guys? Why are they discussing this when they're all wrong? Didn't they hear that we actually know all the way from Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua? It was said over by Shimon ben Eliakim. Who said it over from Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas? Who said it over from Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua? And he said that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, that you guys are all arguing about, what is the logic of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon? Why is it not a psul? Isn't it a shinoi? So you're arguing about why it's only a partial shinoi. How is it that they did not know that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon himself was wont to say that shamati B'chatas ha'ov shemavdilin. I heard that it's not even a shinui, and that when the Torah says v'lo yavdil, doesn't mean not to be mavdil. It means you don't need to be mavdil. So, I mean, once that's true, this is a completely moot discussion. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, simply, that's moot as in American English. It's a moot discussion because it makes absolutely no difference because you didn't do a shinui, darn it. The Torah never said don't be mavdil. The Torah said you don't need to be mavdil. So how could that possibly be a shinui? How in the world could that mean you don't need to? When the Torah says you didn't, that means you didn't need to? So then if it says by a bor, it says by the bor, ki yiftach ishbor, or ki yikra ishbor, v'lo yechasenu. What does that mean? You don't need to cover it? Oh, come on, it says the that's a ridiculous comparison. What the ashta? There it says that this is the condition of Baal HaBor Yishalim. V'lo yechasenu, v'nofash ha-mashor ha-chamor, so then it's Baal HaBor Yishalim. And that's what it's referring. He's the one that should have been mechasenu. I mean, that's the whole point of the pasuk. Eluye, it's he's the one that was mechuyev to cover it up. So it can't mean he doesn't need to cover it up. Oh, there'll be a point then of paying for it. Aval hacha, michte. Look, remember we already learned from that pasuk v'hikri vo. So v'hikri vo, that is a loshen yachid, right? It, not both. Chalaka katuv, it's it specifically about the oila v'hikrivo, and that means chalaka katuv v'chatat ha'of v'chatat olat ha'of. We know, therefore, that there has to be a difference. So it means I already know that if it said that by the case of the oila, you're supposed to be mavdil, then obviously, that's the guf ba'atzma, rosh ba'atzma, so obviously, in this case, if the Torah says, and don't do the same thing to the chatas, so then it obviously means you are not mavdil on the chatas. So why does it have to say lo yavdil? If I already know lo yavdil? Ah, lo yavdil, lamali, shmamina ain't tzorich lahavdil. Therefore, the whole point over here is the Torah repeats it in this way to tell me, havdola is not essential. Now, if that's what Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon himself said, then you guys are butting your head against the wall to explain why it's not called a shinui, because it's not the entire shinui. It's not the question of entire shinui. It's not a shinui. According to him, lo yavdil never meant not to be mavdil. So you're all wasting your time. Now, when the Mishnah says that if you were mamatze, the dam of the guf, and you didn't do the mitzvah on the Rosh, then it's kosher. But the other way around, then it's possible. How do we know that? Because, Tana Rabbana, since it says in the Pasuk, Olahu Ishei Reach Lichoach Lashem, remember whenever it says that, it's obviously it's an Olahu. You just introduced it. At the beginning, you said, this is the way to do the Olah. So then at the end, after you tell me all the dinim, you say, it is an Olah. Of course it's an Olah. That's what you just said. So why does it say Olahu? That comes to tell me, you know what? It is actually a reference to a case that Yochel mitzadam arosh velo mitzadam haguf. You might think it's kosher. That's why it says, no, olahu. It's got to be only one of these is a kosher ola. How do you know? I understand, but how do you know which one? Maybe it's the other way. Maybe if you did the rosh, that's what's important. Omravina, it's just reasonable. If the Torah is saying that this is partially ma'akev, the olahu, it's reasonable to say that since rov damim are in the guf, so rov damim beguf shrichin, so because of that, if the Torah says that it's kosher nonetheless in one of these cases, who, then that must be the case. Why? But rov damim in the guf, and that would be where it's kosher. Hadron alach kodshei kodashim.
It's a little late to function, isn't it, Rabbi?
What's the matter, Rich? Are you getting old and tired?
I'm getting tired.
Well, I think we can manage a little bit
I'm
more.
Not as young as you, Rabbi.
It's good to be a spring chicken, let me tell you.
I'm doing it anyway.
I am the spring chicken. There we go. All right, let's begin that parak, and then we'll start a new recording, and everybody is going to have a little bit of patience so that we can catch up a bit. We, Baruch Hashem, got through, even though I wasted so much time at the beginning redoing this Mishnah. What an idiot. Okay, what can you do? So the Mishnah begins that if you do something backwards, and here's where we get this Mishnah of the Maisa Ila L'Shem Chatas and so on and so forth. So, Chatas Ha'ov, that you do, what's the right way to do it? The right way to do it is to make it completely kosher. You do it L'mata Mikut HaSikra, and that's exactly where it is that you're supposed to do it. And you do it K'maisa Chatas, oh man, exactly the way you're supposed to do it, which is the Malika cuts only one of the Simonim, and you did it not with Mitzu, you did it with Hazoya, and you did it L'Shem Chatas. Man, you are A-OK. You are kosher all the way. So that would be wonderful. Now we're going to start with variations of the theme. If you didn't do it A-OK, that we will see tomorrow.